Gamar Jobat Sakar Velo. This is Tbilpod.com coming to you from our studios high atop Tbilisi's sunny and beautiful Rustaveli Avenue. The week in Georgia in English today is Thursday, the 6th of June, 2013. On this date, in 1752, fire destroys one-third of Moscow, including 18,000 homes. 1808, Napoleon's brother, Joseph Bonaparte, is crowned King of Spain. 1844, the YMCA is founded in London. In 1933, the first drive-in movie theater opens in Camden, New Jersey, right across the Delaware River from Philadelphia. 1934, U.S. President Franklin Roosevelt signs the Securities Act of 1933 into law, establishing the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. 1945, D-Day. 1946, the National Basketball Association is created with 11 original teams. 1949, George Orwell's 1984 is published. 1982, Israel invades Lebanon. 1984, Tetris, the computer game, is released. Birthdays today are Spanish painter Diego Velázquez, New London school teacher Nathan Hale, literary giant Alexander Pushkin, R&B great Gary U.S. Bonds, magic mountaineer Thomas Mann, cool actor nerd Paul Giamatti, tennis star Bjorn Borg, and appropriately, also today is Swedish National Day. Not to mention, today is the UN-designated Russian Language Day. We are Matthias Hooter and me, Mark Mullen. Nothing we can say can be connected with any of our employers, past, present, or future. Thanks again for those posting to our forum. As always, if you want to know about Georgian agriculture, the place to learn is from Simon in the comments section of our forum, where he posts regularly. This is a post from this week. CDM's ideal of foreign investment of Georgian lari 1 million per half hectare is a huge investment. Modern climate-controlled greenhouses with full computerized automation might exceed this threshold, but as little as 20 hectares of such a facility would satisfy 100% of Georgia's winter vegetable requirements. What to do with the other 600,000 hectares of Georgian arable land left fallow due to a lack of domestic capital? Food security is a legitimate concern here in Georgia. Georgia imports most of its wheat, milk, and meat, and is susceptible to Russian military blockade of trade routes and currency devaluation affecting its ability to feed its citizens. Given that foreign-owned broadacre grain-growing farms and piggeries are achieving, I've never said that word before in my whole life, piggeries, are achieving yields 2 to 4 times the national average, having more foreign farmers here enhances Georgia's national food security rather than diminishing it. Eventually, enough local farmers will look over the fence and start copying the modern techniques used commercially to lift yields among the wider farming community. This technique was used to good effect 2 centuries ago when German settlers introduced steel farm implements to farmers throughout the Russian Empire who were still using Neolithic tools made of wood. Thank you for that, Simon. Anyone else, please post any questions or comments. If you want us to follow up on a topic, go to tpeelpod.com and put something there, or you can email us if you're shy at tpeelpod@gmail.com. And note, if you look back in the archives for 2013, we've got interviews with Tatu Supashvili, head of parliament, defense ministry, Irakli Okroshvili, and Georgia's ambassador
to Alassania.
Irakli Alassania.
I don't think you did Okroshvili.
I didn't do Okroshvili. Haven't talked to him in a while, actually, although that would be interesting. And Georgia's ambassador to Washington, Archil Gegashidze. My Georgian Journal and Kvitis Politra column this week is about the demonstrations in Turkey, the truly fascinating demonstrations in Turkey, which are big news here in Georgia, in our neighbor. What's going on, how they compare with things in Georgia, and that sort of thing. So, Justice Minister Teodos Loukianis stated that Georgia's liberal visa regime will be reviewed. She said that several ministries are working on a package of bills regarding foreigners' legal situation in Georgia, which will be presented to the government in about 2 weeks. According to Tsoulikiani's visa visa categories will be reviewed, renewed, changed, and new approaches to countries may be selected. She also evidently, you know, said that this was due to Georgia's national interests or something like that. in reality, I think a lot of this will have to do with, I mean, right now, for those of you who don't know, for those from sort of OECD countries, Western Europe, I think Israel, the U.S., Canada, places like that, you can basically stay here as long as you want. I mean, the visa restrictions, I mean, for working, I mean, there's really, you don't need a visa and you don't really need anything to stay here.
For like 10 days a year or something. Which basically everybody does.
Yeah, I mean, it's really extremely lax and, in my view, fantastic. On the other hand, I think I have heard that the EU related to visa liberalization is the entity that is pushing this. Now, the problem is, the EU doesn't like to say what it's telling the Georgian government to do, but from what I've heard, this is part of the deal that that if Georgia wants to have significantly facilitated visa arrangements, they're going to have to do this. Now,
so that people come through Georgia to travel to the EU?
I don't know. Well, it doesn't really seem to make much sense to me because if, you know, for the Iranians or Iraqis or whomever right. else that are here, it's not like they have Georgian passports, and even if they get Georgian passports, well, okay, then they're Georgian citizens anyway. So I don't really see the correlation, but you know, maybe this is some sort of alignment with a Schengen area or something like that. What'll be important is to look and see whether it becomes significantly more difficult for Iranians and Syrians and Iraqis to come in. What I have heard is this is really for people from rich countries more than anything else.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of foreigners, young foreigners like me here who work here, live here, enjoy it here.
Yeah.
And if it would be more difficult,
backbone of the nation, one could say.
Well, let's not exaggerate my role here. But
there's the dive bar for them to hang out.
There's the dive bar.
For those of you who don't know, this is the coolest new place in town, right around Broadway Street behind the opera.
In the backyard next to the opera.
In the backyard, yeah, it's a little difficult to find. They also have Kvemo Kartli Micro Brew, the best beer in Georgia that's been around for ages, but nobody knows about. So yeah, stop.
But there's a bunch of young Westerners who I think, in the end, bring money into the country rather than, you know,
and ideas and all sorts of other things. No, it's a great thing. It'd be quite interesting to follow up on this. This is important. Not to mention a core constituency of Tapiopod.com. National Opera of Paris canceled a concert of Georgian soprano Tamar Iveri because of a homophobic statement she made on Facebook after the May 17th incident. She addressed a letter to Misha and accused him of supporting European and American imperialism against Georgian traditions. She called LGBT people sick and perverted. Later, Identova translated the letter into English and sent it to the director of the National Opera of Paris. Iveri later sent an email to Identova and apologized to LGBT people for her statement. Yeah, so for the homophobes out there, watch what you post on online. You know, that ends up getting sent around to potential future employers and that sort of thing. We're not advocating anybody, you know, taking screenshots of Facebook statements and sending them around or publicizing them. We're just saying that it happens. The big story this week is that the Russian army moved a fence around near South Ossetia into Georgian territory.
Into Tbilisi-controlled territory.
Into Tbilisi-controlled territory.
It's around on Georgian territory.
It's all right, the administrative, you know, little line that's not a border, and yes, okay, with all niceties observed. Allegedly, at this greatest point, 300 meters into Tbilisi-controlled Georgia. It's several people have gone there to look and you know, complain about it, talk about it. It's you know, it's not a good thing. There was one guy that's interviewed on TV, just tragically, you know, that his wife's grave is separated from his house and is now on the Russian controlled side, and he can't go there. And it's just it's just
like
horrible.
For some villages, apparently the water supply is now on the other side, and you know, pasture land for their animals.
Yeah,
so it really. Yeah,
unbelievably frustrating. Just maddening.
For communities that have dealt with already a lot, and it appears that there's very little government support out there. So, I think, as far as I've heard from people who went out there and talked to the locals, there's no basically assistance coming from the government in terms of financial support. And basically, people were upset when now the fence was moved and some people from Tbilisi came to check it out. and they got upset and said, like, you know, like, so you're coming now once, you know, with your cameras, but, you know,
right,
the other 364 days of the year you're not here. What are you doing for us?
Fair enough. Fair enough. On June 3rd and 4th, a group of seven European Parliament members visited Georgia. The delegation was made up of representatives from all the political groups within European Parliament. It tended towards the conservative sort of People's Party and Christian Democrat types. There are particularly a lot of Poles and people from the Visegrad countries, Poland, Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Hungary. During the two-day visit, delegations met with Misha Bidzina, chairman of the parliament, Datu Subashvili, interior minister, Irakli Zarabashvili, the justice minister, Teotsu Lukiani, prison minister, Sosar Subadi, public defender, Ucha Nanuashvili, and UNM parliamentary minority group leaders, as well as representatives of NGOs and the media. Ruchek stated at a news conference, he was the leader of the group, at the end of the visits, that all sides expressed a strong will for European integration and added that there was a real chance that Georgia would be able to initiate an association agreement with the EU, including deep and comprehensive free trade agreement at the Eastern Partnership's Vilnius Summit in November 2013, which will be quite an important meeting. Ruchek said that a lot of tension could be observed on certain occasions between Georgian Dream and UNM. In his words, the key message to all parties was the need for more dialogue, cooperation, and consensus on major issues in Georgia. Recent violence during the anti-homophobia pro-tolerance rally in Tbilisi were also discussed at the MEP's meeting. Lunacek from the group of Greens and European Free Alliance.
She's an Austrian Green, and she's also the head of the LGBT fraction of the European Parliament. She's an open lesbian, so she's very interested in these issues.
Once again, with the insider Austrian knowledge. She welcomed both the UNM and Georgian Dream that they condemned the violence and welcomed the authorities' plan to draft anti-discrimination law. Speaking about the recent installation of the illegal barbed wire fence by the Russian border guards in the vicinity of Georgian villages, Ruchek said that the delegation condemned the so-called borderization process and reiterated the European Parliament's support to the territorial integrity of Georgia. On the 3rd of June, James Apathurai, NATO Secretary General, Special Representative for the Caucasus and Central Asia, stated that before moving to the next stage in the relationship with NATO, Georgia must answer questions that have emerged regarding the arrest of former senior officials and the 17th of May events. Yeah, I'm not sure if he specified exactly what that next stage would be. That would be an interesting question. And frankly, the Georgian government has already clarified a lot of those questions, but okay, whatever. I don't know what he said about the May 17th events, I don't know, but I think it was probably just to toss something else in there.
But it was not really defense-related. I mean, that was a Ministry of Interior thing, nothing to do with Lasagna's people.
On the 4th of June, BI said in an interview on the TV program Resume that the National Security Council of Georgia has not held a meeting the past 8 months or so, and he wonders what the Secretary of the National Security Council, Giga Bokeri, is receiving a salary for. Making it sound like, he's a member of the National Security Council. I mean, you know, Bidzina is, so strange that, you know, Giga doesn't have to call it. He could call him if he wanted to. But I also noted that Bokeri will have to answer questions about state expenditures to lobbying firms. He commented that the current government also spends money on lobbying firms, but justified this on the ground that the process is transparent. BI stated, quote, "I don't think and I can't believe the strategy of Russia to occupy the territory of neighboring countries. I don't believe that," end quote. On the 5th of June, Misha summoned a Security Council meeting. Chairman of Parliament, Dr. Zavashvili, attended the meeting, which took place at the presidential palace. BI did not attend. The meeting topics included the Russian relocation of the occupation line in Shidikartli, and the current situation regarding the occupied territories.
Tamar Chegorishvili, the wife of Giga Bokeri and the publisher of Tabula and the boss of the new Tabula TV, she posted on her Facebook that whenever the Washington Post writes a really critical op-ed about the new government, her husband gets into trouble, basically. So she drew a connection. It was a fairly, I think, one-sided, I would say, op-ed in the Washington Post a couple of days ago that highlighted the concern of the Washington Post editorial board about democratic developments in Georgia. And
yep.
FBI came out against that and said, and alleged that, you know, maybe Bukerya is somehow involved in you know, bribing the Washington Post or something like that.
Yeah, BI really has some bee in his bonnet about that, which is a little ridiculous. I mean, that Giga Bokeria or even lobbyists could influence the editorial board directly in that way. From what I heard, it was written by Jackson Diehl, who is some big shot at the Washington Post and was just here on a German Marshall Fund trip right before the election, and that he wrote it and that these are his opinions. His opinions are... I would say, for someone who lives here, not particularly founded in reality. I mean, he says, you know, he's got a toss-off line there. Like, yeah, sure, there are some complications under the national movement, but, you know, these are politically motivated. And I think the most frustrating
thing... Like they were bending the law.
Yeah, they were sort of bending the law a little bit, and stuff like that. So, I mean, he clearly doesn't really know what the hell he's talking about. You know, and I think most frustrating in the Washington Post thing was where he says it's just like Ukraine, that it's sort of Georgia and Ukraine. Well, they put Tymoshenko in, and then he says, you know, Yulia Tymoshenko could actually win an election in Ukraine. You know, whereas Vano Medvedev is not going to win a presidential election if he's put his candidate, and I think he's unlikely to be put his candidate for that reason. There was a good response by a Forbes blogger named Mark Adomanis about that. That's quite worth reading. anyway, so on the 3rd of June, Avtandil Khaduri and Kaha Khaduri, father and son, who were detained by a Russian military serviceman near South Ossetia, were set free. The Interior Ministry issued a statement saying they were released as a result of negotiations with the Informational Analytical Department of the MIA, the main department of Kartli region, and the European Union Monitoring Mission. They're relatives of Finance Minister Nodar Khaduri. Interior Ministry stated that the situation on the South Ossetian border, where they've moved the fence, is calm. According to their information, 60 locals have been detained by Russian border guards for violating the South Ossetian border in 2013. 10 of them are still in a detention facility in Skhinvali. Russian political activist Alexander Dugin stated that if Georgia wants to resolve barbed wire problems, it should enter the Eurasian Union together with Abkhazia and South Ossetia.
Is the Eurasian Union a Russian thing?
It's like the new Soviet Union that everybody's supposed to join.
CIS.
Yeah, I guess, like something like that. Yeah. The Tbilisi City Court scheduled for the 15th of July the first hearing of the two priests, Antimos Bichinashvili and Irakli Basalaya, who incited violence against the pro-tolerance rally in Tbilisi on the 17th of May. Tbilisi City Court told Interfax the priests are accused of, quote, obstructing the rally and subjecting protesters to violence, end quote, a crime punishable by a fine or up to 2 years in prison. Father Antimos told reporters, quote, we are accused of disrupting this rally and subjecting its participants to violence, but it isn't so. We weren't the organizers. Everything happened spontaneously. It was probably God's will. If someone was the organizer, it was Jesus Christ, end quote. Chief Prosecutor Archil Kvilashvili stated that there was no need to demand pretrial detention for the priests, and it would be artificial from their side. I don't know about Jesus Christ. I think maybe Leviticus, you know, was the one who organized it. Jesus Christ seemed to have a somewhat different message. Yeah, it'd be interesting to follow those cases and see where they go. 4th of June, the European Parliament member Christoph Lisek visited former Prime Minister Vano Medvedev in prison. After the meeting, Lisek said that Medvedev feels well but does not have a TV set nor any contact with his relatives. Justice Minister Teodosio Lukiani said that Medvedev is kept in excellent conditions, and if he behaves in accordance with the prison rules, will receive not only a TV, but also a radio. Chief Prosecutor Archil Kvilashvili said that a new charge will be brought against Medvedev pertaining to the Girvliani case. According to Kvilashvili, Mehrabashvili will be charged with improper conduct in the investigation, falsifying evidence, and pressuring investigators in order to exempt high-ranking officials from responsibility.
Actually, I think it's an interesting question how the conditions for pretrial detention are, because if you're in pretrial detention, they are just making sure that you're not running away or that you're not hiding any evidence, but you're not guilty. So, I mean, the conditions there should be, in my non-expert opinion, a bit better than for people who have been found guilty of a crime.
An extremely good point. And it is, innocent until proven guilty for the time being, although the justice minister is educated in France and, may want to change that. But that's a very good point. Any human rights folks that are listening and feel like posting on the topic, let us know. On the 3rd of June, BI said that Nino Bourgenadze may be prosecuted for her role in organizing an anti-government rally in May 2011, which resulted in several deaths. UNM Secretary General Vano Mehrabashvili, who then was Interior Minister, has already been charged in connection with the use of disproportionate force in dispersing the rally. By the way, there is a WikiLeaks memo from the U.S. Embassy making the rounds about her husband getting money from Georgians in Russia, the implication being that it's money from Russia going through Georgians in Russia, and was was sent a while back. I mean, I think before 2009.
It's still weird for me to hear comments about who may be prosecuted for something from people in the government. Yeah. I don't think they should be doing that. And I think by now they should have gotten the message that they should not comment on criminal investigations or announce them or speculate over them being initiated.
Indeed. Indeed. On the 31st of May, the prosecutor's office accused Misha of spending government money on Botox treatments. According to expense documents which UMedTV has publicized, Misha spent over $11,000 on cosmetic procedures while visiting New York in 2009 and 2011. The documents also indicate that Misha spent about $9,000 of state money in Britain on a painting by the American actress Meredith Ostrom, who covers her naked body in paint and then rubs it on the canvas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe he just wanted to invest public funds into like in a sustainable art,
exactly.
Investment.
Yeah,
might be worth four times.
Exactly.
By now, I don't know.
It's all about sustainability.
Yeah.
On the 4th of June, UNM MP Georgi Vashadze said that the UNM will nominate its candidate for the presidency in approximately 10 days. Vashadze said that the UNM intended to conduct primaries and reveal candidates through that mechanism, but the detention of Vano Mehrabashvili has changed political plans.
Ooh.
Ooh.
So no primaries?
I guess not, which is too bad.
Mm.
On the 4th of June, Chief Prosecutor Archil Kvilashvili said that the prosecutor's office is investigating the circumstances surrounding the deaths of prisoner Levan Kartava in the penitentiary facility in the village of Geguti. Kartava died on the 23rd of May in a hospital in Kutaisi as a result of trauma. Family presumes he died of physical violence because of the number of bruises on his corpse. On the 9th of June, a judges conference will be held in Tbilisi where the chairperson of the Independent Council of the High School of Justice, formerly headed by Misha's brother Dato, they will be selected and candidates for the High Council of Justice membership will be named. On the 4th of June, Justice Minister Teo Tsiloukiani said, no one will fight judges if they live, and I'm quoting, no one will fight judges if they live up to expectations on the 9th of June, end quote. Meaning, if they vote the wrong way, then, somebody might fight them, says the Minister of Justice. According to the law which was passed in April, 7 members of the council have to be elected by the judges conference. Out of these 7, 3 members can be the heads of colleges or chambers. This is the only exception that the law makes. All other judges with administrative functions, chair, deputy chair, etc., can't be members of the council and at the same time hold an administrative position. They can participate in the election, but if they are elected, they have to resign and then become a member of the High Council.
Which is one of the problems with this High Council of Justice. It is a really powerful tool to promote, good and independent judiciary. They're really badly paid positions. Like, you make 2,000 lari if you're in there, and you can't have another job other than teaching at a university.
Uh-huh.
So, like, has been really hard to get good lawyers and, you know, respected people in that council because the salary is so bad.
Why don't they match it with the broadcast, you know?
The GNCC, which is like $20,000 a month.
Exactly. According to the law, judges that are heads of chambers or colleges will be elected separately. There will be two ballots and two lists, one with the four vacant positions for regular judges, the other with the three vacant positions for the heads of the chambers or colleges. Many of the judges criticized the election procedures and stated that it is a discriminating and unfair system. They argue that there should instead be one list, which would guarantee fair competition. There seems to be, you know, pretty unanimous agreement about that among the lawyers that I've talked to on the issue. On the 30th of May, Interior Minister Irakli Kharabashvili stated that archives compromising video records taped by the previous authorities will be destroyed next week.
I mean, I think he has been saying that for 4 or 5 weeks now.
Yeah, and interestingly, if I'm not wrong, last night on television, Ivanishvili himself said, why should we destroy these things? You know, like, so I don't know where that's going to go. At the same time, Kharabashvili called on the people who have copies of those videos to submit them to the Ministry of Interior within a month, or they will be punished in accordance with the law.
Kharabashvili was also in Brussels last week, and there was a public discussion about, you know, surveillance aspects as well. And he was asked by somebody in the audience about these black boxes. Are you going to remove this direct access to all of the communications data? And he was like, well, why didn't you ask that question to the previous government? You know, like, are you attacking us? So there was no commitment in that direction. But also Enlargement Commissioner Füle came out and said that the EU is very closely following everything around the surveillance, and that this is a big aspect in terms of visa liberalization. So
interesting.
This is, yeah, on their list of points.
On the 30th of May, Deputy Finance Minister Dato Ebrahidze announced his decision to resign on Facebook. Quote, initially I consented to hold the post of Deputy Finance Minister to reform the principles of the Council on lawsuits. Due to the fact the ministry did not pass those principles yesterday, I cannot hold this post anymore as it will be a prolongation of my work-related prosperity. I have filed my resignation, end quote. This is directly related, we think, to the court case undertaken by the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, TI Georgia, relating to unfair favoritism for the post office related to sort of customs procedures. TI Georgia published an open letter to the government regarding the Ministry of Interior's installation of black boxes, as we were discussing 20 seconds ago, in the server infrastructure of all major telecommunications companies. According to the telecom insiders, the authorities have the technical capacity to monitor 21,000 mobile phone numbers at any given time. In the letter, TI Georgia called on the authorities to immediately remove their black boxes from the telecommunications companies and ensure that relations with mobile operators are within a legal and ethical framework. News agency of the Chechen Press published the results of an investigation into the controversial anti-terror operation carried out in the Lapankuri village last summer, in which several North Caucasian gunmen were killed, presumably North Caucasus gunmen. The report was done by the self-recognized government of the Chechen Republic. According to the conclusions, the people killed during the anti-terror operation were initially trained by Russian intelligence. The investigation also asserts that the special operation was planned when Vano Medvedev was interior minister, while the decision to launch it was made in agreement with the president of Georgia. The conclusion also says that the process was from the very beginning controlled by the government of Georgia, and it was impossible to staff the armed groups without their consent and involvement.
So that this is coming out of Kadyrov's, like, staff, basically?
No. This is the opposition. This is the sort of Chechen, you know,
resistance.
I don't know, resistance government in exile. I don't know whether it's located, you know, up in some mountain moving around a lot, or whether they're, you know, located in Dubai or something. On the 28th of May, a dormitory where Nigerian students live at the Batumi Navigation University was attacked by drunk, swearing Georgian teenagers. Nigerian student stated that they don't know if it was because of racial discrimination. Police are investigating. On the 4th of June, the French police arrested more than 40 people in a nationwide raid on Georgian criminals who were stealing cash, gold, arms, and cigarettes, as well as forging documents. Raids were conducted in the cities of Marseille, Nice, Bordeaux, and Paris. Police said that the Georgian, quote, mafia gangs, end quote, have been operating in western Georgia, and especially in France, since the breakup of the Soviet Union. On the 31st of May, Tbilisi City Council approved a new fee for waste removal. It is 2.5 lari per person. Families with more than four members will still pay 10 lari a month. New tariff entered force on the 1st of June.
One question I have is, like, how does the government know how many people live in a household? I don't think that's anywhere on the record, at least not to my knowledge.
I don't know. I actually have no idea if the state has that information for my particular household. I will say that the national movement has certainly asked us about 47 times, you know, so...
So you can date that to the city?
Who knows, you know, just to get the garbage numbers? Well, no, because then they had the electricity peg, so, you know, who knows. On the 31st of May, Minister of Education Gyorgy Margvelashvili met with a group of students who protested the cancellation of the summer jobs program. Margvelashvili downplayed the protests of the students and explained that the summer jobs project was a political project which served the interests of the previous government. By contrast, Margvelashvili said the current ministry has no interest in political projects. Summer job program began under former education minister Dima Shashkin, who then became defense minister. Students were offered different paid positions during the summer months, but let's be real, we're basically working for the National Movement's campaign.
But still, I think Margvelashvili maybe also missed the point. I mean, if students protest, they do it because they want, like, a paid job in the summer, right?
Right.
And, I don't know, he didn't seem to address that issue that, you know, they want jobs.
He addressed it by saying, no. You know, for someone, you know, about to supposedly run for president, you know, he didn't seem to come up with another idea there, but... The Agriculture Ministry has reported that loans totaling 5 million lari were issued to 25 beneficiaries for a preferential agricultural loan program. Among the funded projects are winemaking, cattle breeding, construction of grain dryers, and storage. Under consideration are more than 35 applications with a total of 13 million lari in requested funds. One thing I don't know is how transparent this is. I mean, if it's known who these things are going out to, this is a really, you know, since it's a new program, it's really easy to do this right from the start. And we'll try and track that down and let people know. If anybody, like Simon, has any idea about this, that would be an interesting thing to find out.
Yeah, you could send a Freedom of Information request and see if they give you that information.
But the point is, look, I don't want to send a Freedom of Information
request.
Okay,
no,
like the TI factory, who sends out 47 of those things an hour, you know, can send one of those out. But what should happen is it just ought to be online automatically, so that everybody can just see that and be calm that, you know, knowing that it's not, you know, going to friends of certain individuals.
Right. I mean, there was another government subsidy project that came back and is very controversial at this point. It's the president's scholarships are back this year. So a lot of people applied for university scholarships abroad. That was a big project, I think, in 2009, 10, 11. So
they've been doing that for years.
So they have given, I think, for the past couple of years, they didn't have money to do it. And now they basically promised people, you will get it, or they hinted to people that they would get the scholarship. Mm. And they overpromised, and now people who had basically been promised a scholarship are not getting it, and they're in, like, big Western American and European universities. And there are rumors that a lot of qualified, or like a lot of people who happen to be former deputy ministers and, you know, high-level UNM officials all got scholarships to study English in the U.S. now.
Uh-huh.
So there's... that not much verified information here. But
that would also be, useful information to find out whether that's going to be publicized. National Wine Agency stated that it began strengthening control over wines, protected origin, aimed at improving efficiency for control over wine quality. The agency explained that it's authorized to take samples of testing for export intended lot upon receiving applications from the company to export. Based on results of the testing, a certificate of origin will be issued to the exporter company. I mean, this is a big problem because of, like, for example, the famous, you know, sweet Stalin favorite, you know, Kvanchkada. You know, it's a tiny little village that's got, you know, could not bottle more than 10,000 bottles, I'm sure. You know, but there are millions of bottles of you know, fake Panchkara around. A lot of them from Georgia, but just not from that village. And maybe the same type of grape. But there are certainly issues around that. Newspaper Resonanza reported that the forest on the Ricotti Pass were severely cut down, which could lead to a landslide. According to the Minister of Environmental Protection, the license to cut down the chestnut trees on the pass were issued to a company, Te Forest. Commission will be set up to investigate the situation. Gia Gachichiladze, Member of Parliament's Environment and Natural Resources Committee, stated that all licenses issued during the previous government should be reviewed.
That's a lot of licenses. Several thousand
That's
licenses.
A lot of licenses, yeah, especially the Ministry of Environment.
Yeah, but there's another controversial issue related to the Ministry of Environment. When you go to behind Udawuri towards... towards Kazbegi, there's this, after the pass, there's this very, you know, this kind of brown rock where water comes down.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and they've been destroying that. So that is
why?
Like a local, they're like widening the road or something like that.
Oh, no.
So they've been like bulldozing that you know, this very impressive part of the rock where people stopped and, you know, there were a few, you know, people sold some hats and stuff like
right.
that. So they're destroying that, and the Ministry of Environment has been very underwhelming in their response to concerns on Facebook about that.
Economic Policy Research Center and GIZ Private Sector Development Program South Caucasus, that's the new German GTZ, what GTZ is now, conducted a Georgian diaspora study to support the Office of State Minister for Diaspora Issues. Study aimed to assess the investment potential of the Georgian diaspora in seven target countries, Greece, Italy, Spain, UK, USA, Turkey, and Russia. Most respondents stated that moving their business to Georgia will be an option if the new government delivers on its pre-election promises. Ukrainian Aeronix Airlines launched regular flights between Simferopol and Tbilisi. Flights will go twice a week on Tuesdays and Saturdays. The cost of a one-way ticket is €151, while a return ticket is €251. Georgian Airways, which performs charter flights between Tbilisi and Moscow with the Russian air company Sibir, is going to launch an air service between Kutaisi and Moscow beginning on the 11th of June. There'll be two round-trip flights per week from Kutaisi to Moscow on Tuesday and Fridays.
And by Georgia now does Brussels directly twice a week, Wednesdays and Saturdays. So it's not the famous pajama bombers where, you know, like you get up in the middle of the night and you're there for your morning meeting, but they leave, I think, at 10 in the morning or something like that from Tbilisi. So it's like during the day.
But, direct Brussels flight. That's great. That was... I know certainly the hour and 45 minutes by the Eurostar from London to Brussels did, you know, really did a lot to improve British Brussels communication. Not that it mattered with the Tory government, but that's another country. So, President of the National Bank of Georgia, Georgi Katagidze, declared that Georgia's debt to the IMF will be almost fully paid by 2015. He said that the payment started in 2012 when $250 million U.S. dollars were paid. While $300 million will be paid this year and $260 next year, according to the Ministry of Finance. Georgia's debt to the IMF as of the 30th of April this year was $736 million U.S. dollars. The Economic Policy Research Center published research on the performance of the state budget revenue for 2013. According to it, economic growth for the year 2013 was estimated at 6%. However, economic growth for the first quarter of 2013, I presume annualized, was only 1.7. The 2013 state budget set the tax target, revenue target at 6 million lari, whereas collected revenues made up only 1 million lari.
1 billion.
What? Sorry, 1 billion. What, 6 billion and 1 billion? Which is only 22% of the planned annual indicator, considering the data. Previous years, the amount of tax revenues to the state budget in the first quarter of 2013 is low as compared to the planned annual target. On Saturday, the 1st of June, participants of the Georgian TV show Top Girl were detained in Hurghada, Egypt, while they were having a swimwear photo session. Egyptian policemen thought they were filming a porn movie. The police apologized for the incident afterwards when they found out that it was only a photo shoot. Last week, on Friday, the 1st of June, Kaladze's former teammates from AC Milan took part in a special match against Rossoneri to honor the end of his career. There were plenty of well-known former stars. The match itself pitted Milan against a team combined of several non-Rossoneri friends, which I keep wanting to say Rice-a-roni, friends of Kaladze. Rossoneri won the match in the end 3-1. Parliament initiated a draft law forbidding the sale of land plots to foreigners. We've talked about this quite a bit. They've initiated it, not passed, until the end of 2014, according to the chairman of the Committee for Sector Economy and Economic Policy, Zuda Kemaladze. During the first 6 months of the moratorium, a unified state policy will be designed. During the same period, the government is obliged to organize a land cadastre and a unified system of land planning for all of Georgia. On the 11th of June, the Parliament will hear candidates for Georgia's permanent representatives to the UN and NATO. Kaha Imnadze has been nominated as a candidate for Georgia's permanent representative to the UN. And Levan Dolidze, deputy defense minister, to NATO. Indeed. Following up on meme watches from previous weeks, Facebook's call of Taburetka was removed from Facebook for, as the Huffington Post said, featuring a homophobic game, unfortunately, because it was kind of the opposite, but okay. Politra TV channel reporter's camera showed Parliament member Dato Saganalidze store a bottle of vodka during his flight to Kutaisi to attend the parliamentary session. Saganalidze was on the newly established flight from Tbilisi to Kutaisi with several other members of parliament when the camera recorded Georgian Airways director Tamas Gayashvili handing the bottle of vodka over to him.
Is this a issue of bribery or one of being very drunk on the way to a parliament session?
This is an issue of a meme that everybody seemed to be sending this thing around and watching. Why anybody really cares about Saganalidze having a bottle of vodka, I don't really know. I don't know that he was visibly hammered at a parliamentary session, but there you have it. The Tbilisi-Kutaisi-Tbilisi flight is scheduled to take place three times a week for parliament members. The normal flight to the city costs 89 lari, but there's a 50% discount for representatives of the legislature. I think that's just for safety for the, you know, these guys trying to make it in 2 hours barreling down the road from Tbilisi to Kutaisi.
I think it's also a way to get them to show up.
Yeah.
In the long run.
There's that. Always a problem, especially the majoritarian. Things to read this week. A great article by Becca Mindiashvili, who's quite an interesting guy, very knowledgeable about the Christian church, spent time in the seminary. His father's a famous bishop. He wrote an article, The Parade of Seven Deadly Sins, on tabula.ge, where he talks about events related to the International Day Against Homophobia on the 17th of May. The most interesting thing about it is that it directly states that the Georgian Orthodox Church, in its posture and actions related to these events, has gone against Christian doctrine, and it's a pretty heavy article. I mean, it's you can tell it's translated from Georgian. As far as I know, Mindiashvili does not speak English, but so it's in a sort of very, you know, bombastic Georgian style. But the Georgian version of it is evidently quite poetic and sounds very dramatic. Article by Helen Lawson on the dailymail.co.uk about a 9-year-old boy, Bacho Tsiklaudi, who is the only pupil at a primary school in a remote Georgian village that's actually not that far from Tbilisi, called Makarta, up in the mountains up north. We want to note that the British paper has been officially designated as the stupidest newspaper in the world by Spielpod.com. But this, nevertheless, is a good article.
Yeah, it's also not theirs. It's a Reuters photo story, and there was an intern named Helen Lawson who put it on their website.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you don't have to worry that all of a sudden the Daily Mail is moving towards quality. It's just cheap content.
Okay, cheap content.
That happens to be really good. There's lots of really nice pictures of what a day in this boy's life looks like when he goes to class and he's the only guy there.
Okay, all right. Well, hats off to Reuters for that and to the media guru at the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, Mr. Matthias Hooter, for correcting us on the cheap content issue there. Letter to the editorial board, as mentioned, called Georgia's Democracy in Peril, in which we've already talked about and is annoying, but check it out and cause the big hullabaloo here. All these things to read will be posted on our forum, or the links to them. This week's GeoCapital number is zero, which is the amount of gold Georgia holds as part of its international reserve assets, according to April data from the National Bank of Georgia. According to the IMF, Azerbaijan holds 3 tons of gold. Turkey holds 409 tons. Russia holds 982 tons. The biggest gold hoarders are the United States and Germany. They hold 8,134 and 3,391 tons, respectively. Noteworthy is also that gold makes up a large part of these countries' reserves, 76 and 72% respectively, whereas it makes up only 2% of China's and 3% of Japan's reserves, because they own basically all of the American treasury bills that have been issued over the last 30 years.
Meaning they own the gold in America.
Yeah, exactly, meaning they own the United States, which is where the gold is deposited for the Germans and the American government. This week's English language movie at Rustaveli Movie Theater across from Parliament is Saturday, June 8th, Hangover 3 at 6.05 p.m., Wednesday, June 12th, Fast and Furious at 7.55.
Is it Fast and Furious 6 or
Fast and Furious 47? Okay. I don't know. I have no idea. I haven't seen any of them. Tickets are 10 lotti and 50 tetra. Yeah, because it's like a movie about driving really fast, which is just what Georgia needs, you know. The Colga movies this week are tomorrow, Friday, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, 1998. Saturday, June 8th, Sin City, 2005. Sunday, June 9th, Pulp Fiction, 1994. All movies start at 6 p.m. at Dom Kino across from Rustaveli Metro and McDonald's. Tickets are 7 lotti. Just a reminder, Colga has changed its start time from 8 to 6 p.m. Radharami, the incredibly cool civic organization dedicated to engaging Georgians with contemporary nonfiction literature in the Georgian language, has just published its latest translation into Georgian, How Soccer Explains the World, the unlikely Theory of Globalization by Franklin Foyer. They launched the book just last week in Zestafoni. To get the latest copy in Georgian, find the nearest Biblus bookstore, or check to see if your local library has it. If not, or if you have any questions about this project, send them an email at info@radarami.org. That's RADARAMI.org. European Alumni Association of Georgia will be holding its first General Assembly, its founding assembly, at 6:30 p.m. on Thursday, the 20th of June, at Europe House. If you're an alumnus of a European university, if you've taught or been there for more than one semester, you are eligible to be on the board. Or if you are just a fan of Georgia's relationship with the EU, all you have to do is show up. To be eligible to be on the board, all you have to do is get the membership. You can download, go to the Facebook page and download the membership form. Fill it out, and then you have to go to TBC Bank before that meeting and pay 10 lari and bring the receipt to the meeting. Rather than elections, of all people who say that they would serve on the board, there will be a random drawing for who those people will be.
And all that information is on Facebook, and you have to look for EAA Georgia.
Right. So just facebook.com/EAA Georgia. That's the European Alumni Association Georgia website. Or you got any questions, send us an email here. But that will be an interesting issue. Those of you who are interested in traditional Georgian music, on the 9th of June at 7:30 p.m., the ensemble Shavnabada will perform in the big hall of the conservatory, which is on Griboedov Street. We've heard great things about them. The 7th of June, the Office of Internews Georgia will host a presentation of the book Armenians and Turks, From Cold War to Diplomacy, by Tatul Habokian, Hakobian, The address is 14/22 Iashvili Street, Tbilisi. From the 7th to the 9th of June, the 6th International Exhibition of Wine and Alcohol Drinks, Win Expo Georgia 2013, will be held at Expo Georgia on Sedatelli Avenue in Didube. There'll be all sorts of there, including wines, alcohol, industrial stuff, packing technologies, ingredients, food supplements, fertilizers, and equipment for vineyards, saplings, glass, and accessories. On July 13th, 22nd, Georgia will host the 6th International Russian-Georgian Poetry Festival. This year's festival will be devoted to the 120th anniversary of Russian poet Vladimir Mayakovsky. Russian-speaking poets and translators from 31 countries will arrive in Georgia this year. Next week, on Wednesday, the 11th of June, at 6:15, Works in Progress will host Anadolidze's talk, Jury Trials as a Legal Translation, The Case of Georgia. The lecture will take place at Zundukeli No. 16 at the ISET CRC building. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum as discussed with Simon at www.tbilpod.com. We'll finish with, from 1960, from Gary U.S. Bonds, of course, since today's his birthday, this is New Orleans.